This morning, we continue in our Lenten series on the stories of those who were confronted by Jesus. And as we continue to do that, we continue to walk through the book of Mark, as we'll do through all of Lent. And I invite you to turn with me either on the screen in your Bible or on your phone to Mark chapter 1. Hear the word of God beginning at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Jesus sent him away, and at once, with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell anyone this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Unclean, unclean, dirty, dirty, worthless. Worthless. Ever hear those stories in our world today? "I'm not worth your time. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You don't deserve the time of day." Can you imagine if that was your existence? Everywhere that you went, you needed to make that statement. You needed to make that statement before you entered a village, before you entered a home, before you entered the church. You were marked by what was going on in your life. What was not outwardly visible, inwardly was. You know what it's like to be alone. You know what it's like to want to belong. You know what it's like to simply want somebody to reach out and give you a hug. You think the story in our passage this morning is too far from our lives? I mean, those of us who struggle with physical limitations get it. People look at your disability and they stare, that maybe they point, and maybe they're even afraid to ask a question. But they only know you by your limitation, by your deformity. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's you're just so tall, people just point. Remember one guy who's roughly my age now, but he was a dwarf. And everybody just looked. That's the first thing that they could see. That's how they identified with him. Or maybe we struggle with our weight. And people just look at us, and you're marked, you're defined. That's how people perceive you because of that, just like the leper. Or maybe it's not physically, it's socially. The leper knew what it's like to be alone. Maybe you have a personality that begins to put people off, and you wonder why people don't engage. Or you struggle with something that nobody can see, but it's a reality, like anxiety and depression, and people just don't know how to be around you. Or maybe when you talk, you dominate a room and people just shy away, and we know what it's like to be alone. And then there's spiritually. We know what it's like to be distant from God. Maybe we want that relationship, and we have it, but there's this thing that keeps us from growing in God, and maybe it's thoughts of racism or elitism. Or maybe we're just so proud, or we're envious, or we're wrathful. Or we struggle with gluttony, or sloth, or greed, and all we can hear is dirty, dirty, unclean, unclean. And what echoes within our being is that we're alone and we just want to belong. We want somebody to love us. We want somebody to accept us. Imagine that's what your life is like. You cannot enter a home without declaring unclean. You can't go into a village. You're, in fact, relegated to the dump. In fact, if you even came into the church or to the synagogue in the text, there was a separate section for you and you were isolated. Even there, you didn't belong. So you went to a priest and you found out that you have something called leprosy. Started off, and we don't know a lot about it in the biblical time, but there were scales on your body. Inwardly, there was much pain that went on in your body. Deformities would begin to come into your being. Your hands and other parts of your body would begin to shrivel, and to look at you would have been grotesque. According to Leviticus 13, you need to even cover your mouth when you began to speak to someone. You would tear your clothes so that people would look at you and they'd be able to see that there was something wrong with you. So if they were even on the other side of the street, they could walk away from you and they wouldn't even have to look at you because you were just that hard to look at. Maybe you know more about it than I do, but the last time I can find a leper being healed is in 2 Kings chapter 5. When Naaman the Syrian comes in to meet Jesus, when he comes in and he's told to go bathe in the Jordan and he's healed of his leprosy. It's the last time that I can find a healing of this way. Imagine, in the village, in the family, and within the temple, you didn't belong. How many of us this morning, I'm not going to ask you to show your hand, just want to belong? Just want to have that stigma of things that are plaguing our lives to be removed. What would it take? What would it take for us to belong? What would it take for the church to be a place where people knew they belonged, they were loved, they were accepted, that they could come just as they are? What we know is the man has a disease that's eventually going to kill him. Painful beyond description. And yet he comes to Jesus. Have you ever wondered what made the leper come to Jesus? And as he comes to Jesus, he's a fair distance away. Did he know something about Jesus? Had he heard the teaching? Had he seen miracles before that made him want to come and to encounter Jesus? But notice what he does is he comes to Jesus and he says, if you will, Jesus, and I will be clean. If you will. Are you okay with the will of God? When it's not what we want, when it's not what we've been praying for. Here's a guy, his life is in the gutter, and he simply says, if you will, I will be clean. Jesus finishes it in the prayer that he taught us to pray. He says, when you pray, pray not my will, but yours be done. If you will. God has the ability, but would he be willing in our text to do for the leper what he could not do for himself? The leper gives a statement of faith. Because he boldly comes to God to ask what he could needed done that he could not do for himself. He knew that Jesus wasn't a priest. Because if he simply needed to be declared clean, then he would go to the priest. But he's saying something about who Jesus is. But would Jesus do it? Or like his family, like society, like the synagogue, would Jesus write him off? Would he even care enough? Would he be willing to bring wholeness and peace? To remove the stigma of the disease, if you will you help me? Now picture this. Picture what happens next. Because Jesus does the undescribable, the unimaginable, heart-wrenching, deep, aching concern compels Jesus to respond. Jesus could have simply said, pick up your mat and walk as he's done before. Rise and be well. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus touched the leper. Everyone knows that if you touch a leper, you become unclean. You cannot go into the temple. You are defiled. You are rejected as if you had leprosy yourself. Haggai 2 talks about something becoming unclean and touching it. Picture this for a moment. You have to go to the operating room today, and you need to be declared clean. So the doctor takes you to a sterile room, and there in that sterile room, the doctor puts on sterile gloves, and he touches you. Because the doctor touched you with sterile gloves, does it make you clean? No, right? You're still dirty. Just because something is sterile doesn't mean you'll be made clean. But what we learn is in this fact, Jesus is saying something by touching the leper about who he is. He's reminding everyone that will hear the story that he is the Son of God, that he is the coming and the awaited Messiah. He is the one that would ultimately deliver them from their sin. If you will, I will be clean. Do you believe the good news this morning? Because what happens in the leper, God does for you and I. And the fact is that God takes your and my sin upon himself. He becomes sin for us so that we could belong, that we could be forgiven, that we could be restored, that we could be renewed because of the good news of the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ for you and for me. That we here, forgiven, belonged, redeemed, child of God. Do you believe that truth this morning? That's what God says about you? What compels us as those who have experienced a great miracle in our lives to care for those that society rejects? We've heard already the homeless, but what about the addict? What about the person who simply is just like you and I and wants to belong? What would it look like for us not to write people off? To be a community for the church around the world is a place where broken people can come and get it together. You know, I heard this amazing story this week of a church that made that intention to do that. It's pretty cool. Here's a church that was down to probably about a handful or so people that were coming to this church. And so this church decided they were going to intentionally be like their community. Now, the community where this church was located was filled with lots of drug addicts and people who struggle with alcoholism and prostitution. So they set up programs and ministries to begin to reach out to these people. And what happened is they started coming to church. And here with a handful of people that had been going to this church for years, had been brought up in the faith, what was now being outnumbered by people who were trying to figure out the story of faith. And here's the cool thing, is that today in that church, many of those people that were broken and are still broken, as we all are getting their stories together, and they're in the leadership of the church simply because the community of faith didn't write them off. And now he says to the leper, go show yourself to the priest. Now, here's the interesting thing to know. When he says, go show yourself to the priest, it's as much for the leper as it is for the priests. What he's saying to the leper is, don't forget to obey the law. Jesus, who was really free from the law, because he came to fulfill the law, reminds this leper that there are some things you need to do to be able to re-engage with the community that you're in. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. Now, it's interesting because the disciples in Matthew 11 were questioning Jesus and wanted to be sure exactly what they needed to do. And so Jesus quotes Isaiah 35 and basically says this is, by my words you will know the truth and the witness. So go and fulfill all that I'm telling you to do. And so what he does is he goes to the priest and he takes two birds. One bird is going to be offered and its blood is going to be shed. The other bird is going to be set free. And then he would be allowed back into the community, but he would not be allowed to re-engage in his household yet because there is a time of purification. There are some rituals, there's some formalities, some legal matters that need to take place. Now, it's interesting that during this time of 7 days, it is a symbol for perfection, for cleansing, for the fulfillment of the atonement. You remember in Leviticus chapter 16, there is the Day of Atonement, which happened every year. The priest would go in and he would offer atonement for the sins of the people. One animal would be sacrificed, the other one would be set free, and it would carry the sins, and it would never be seen again. Now, in telling us about this, Jesus is telling us something about how what he is going to do, how he is going to fulfill the law. He is going to become that ultimate sacrifice for us once and for all, that this Day of Atonement would not need to happen again. And then this leper needs to offer a sin offering. Again, Jesus would become that sin offering for us, never to be offered again. The burnt offering would be the symbol of how Jesus completed that and accepts us. And then there's the present offering, which reminds us to offer ourselves back to God. So here's what's interesting. In doing all these formalities, doing what the law required this leper to do, Jesus is saying something about what is going to happen on the cross. But notice what happens. The man had experienced a great healing, and he bypasses the priest. He disobeys the law. He turns his back on all that Jesus had done. I wonder why the man wouldn't listen. Because he's not done not listening yet. Because Jesus told him not to say anything. Now, why did Jesus not want him to say anything? Well, Jesus wanted his ministry to be about his teaching, about discipling, about leading people to faith. But what happens is the more the miracles began to happen, the more people came to simply want to be healed. And he wanted the miracles that did happen to reinforce the teaching which had already been taking place. And here's what we read. Just before our text opened, in Mark 1:38, it says to this, he said to them, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby town so that I can preach, for that's what I came for. And the miracles would confirm. Now notice what happens. After the cross, Jesus doesn't say, don't tell anyone. He says, tell everyone. I look at this story, this miracle, and it's not that far from our own lives, is it? Because within each of us is this desire to belong, to be accepted not only by God, but in community. But in light of the miracle, in light of this being about the story of faith and what God does for you and I, he wants you and I to hear this morning, I am willing. And I've already done it. By grace, through faith, you can experience wholeness and refreshment and forgiveness and belonging by surrendering yourself to Christ. And then he says this. Here's going to be the evidence. Here's going to be the testimony. Do everything that I have commanded you. Comes out of Matthew, right? Out of the Great Commission, to the very end of the age. You see, the testimony to our faith, to the ongoing work of Jesus in our lives as he continues that work, and he always will do until the day he comes back, is to shape us and to mold us into his image. But I think there's a second part to that. And I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to leave it as a question. How do we become that community of faith? Where the lepers of our day feel comfortable walking into the church knowing that they will be embraced. And here's the final part. Go and tell everyone. Go and tell everyone the story of what God is doing in your life so that they too may hear the story of the Son of God, who longs to welcome to God's forever family. And how do I know that? I know that because God sent his only Son into the world, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but that they too could have eternal life. May God bless us as we seek to be that community that welcomes and embraces with the good news of the gospel. Let's pray together. It's not only in our walk with you, God, but it's in the very story of our lives. That, Lord, for far too many of us, we're lonely. We're searching, we simply want to belong. And everything in society tells us that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy, that nobody at times could ever love us. Lord, I pray that your story would break through those lies of culture and would break and speak into the story of our hearts. That, Lord, as we rest in your goodness, as we rest in your grace, you may change our story, that we would hear that we are holy and dearly loved, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're children of the King, that we are a royal priesthood. We are a part of a holy nation, and, Lord, that we belong to you, body and soul. That not a hair can fall from our head without your complete will and knowledge. So God, I pray that you would speak into our story this morning. And like that leper in our passage, that we too would say, and I will be clean. I will be made new. Because of you. Lord, help us as your church to be that place where we can come just as we are. And that we would be surrounded, that we'd be welcomed, and that we'd be in grace, embraced with the good news of people who are trying to figure out the story of life just like us. And that together, in our brokenness, we'll journey together. And it's there in your grace that we'll find our identity and our community and the essence of who we are. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to live that out. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Phil and Jeanette in Tanzania. We pray that you would use them, Lord, through the area of medicine and agriculture to tell the story of faith. We pray that that would open up opportunities for them to engage about the Lord of the harvest, of the great physician, and that they would have many opportunities, Lord, as they do indeed in word, to tell the story of faith. We pray that for us as well. Lord, this week as we open our March break camp, Lord, that the children that come will have the opportunity, Lord, to experience grace in action. We pray for many opportunities for seeds of faith to be planted. Lord, we pray for that as many of us go back to work this week. Or, Lord, whether we're enjoying some time away for vacation on March break, Lord, we pray for opportunities amidst of our travel or our staycation to tell that story. And, Lord, we just pray that your truth will continue to penetrate all that we are and that we would be able to journey with anyone who would listen about the God who desires to bring healing and restoration to our lives, spiritually, absolutely, but also wholeness in the other areas of our lives. Help us to be that place where people will feel free to come and experience grace in action. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.